You know what's really good for you? Vibrating. Yes, I am talking about whole body vibration therapy. That is one thing I am loving right now. And I'm also going to share one thing I don't love and one super simple recipe or nutrition tip, because today it's the good, the bad, and the yummy. Let's go. Welcome. You're on air with Ella, where we share simple strategies and tips from people who are doing something better than we are. Whether it's wellness or relationships to just living better and with more energy, or changing your mindset to accomplish more in your own life and succeeding however you define it. This is where we share the best of what we're learning from the experts, and we're learning more every day. Live better. Start now. Let's go. Hey, you're on air with Ella, and yes, it is the good, the bad, and the yummy. These are fun shows. We keep it light, but I always try to share some new things with you, and today is no exception. I am sharing one thing I love, one thing I'm not, and one super simple thing we can do with nutrition or a recipe to nourish ourselves. Okay, let's jump in. Whole body vibration therapy. It's been around actually since the late 19th century, but toward the 1960s during the space race, the Russians discovered that vibrations could be used to strengthen bone mass and muscles of their astronauts. And so NASA has also adopted this technology, and we have started to learn more about it even more recently. And there are quite a few studies that are behind everything I'm going to share today, in addition to my own personal experience. Just a quick note before we jump into the details here. For today's conversation, I didn't just create a few bullet points. I created an entire blog. So I've linked studies, I've linked articles if you want to read more about this, and then I linked to the vibration platform that I bought. Like, there's a whole blog on whole body vibration therapy on the site for you. So you can jump into that in the show notes, okay? It's at onairella.com. I started using whole body vibration therapy recently. Can we just call it vibration therapy going forward, please? That's a lot. But I've seen it in gyms before. I've seen it in like health spaces before. And those platforms that you stand on, and it may or may not have railings, usually at a gym it does, and you hold onto it and it just vibrates your whole body. And I always thought that it was kind of a gimmick, to be dead straight with you. And I was traveling and I used one at a gym, and it made me feel so much less sore. Like, it got rid of the lactic acid buildup so amazingly, you know, in like 2 minutes, that I was like, okay, maybe there's something to this. Maybe NASA knows something that I actually do not. It's entirely possible. So when I started reading more about it, for reasons that will be revealed in time, I ended up buying a vibration platform for my house, nothing like these commercial grade ones, okay? Mine came from Amazon. It was a couple $100. The commercial ones will cost you thousands, right? But this platform, the vibration platform technology, has been getting increasingly more popular and therefore a bit more accessible for in-home use, all right? But today I want to share with you six reasons why I love whole body vibration therapy and what it might possibly do for you. And I need to say, this will come as a shock to you, but I'm not a medical expert, so please do your own research, okay? And if you don't want to do your own research, I link to a bunch of resources in the show notes. All right, let's dive in. Number one, it activates muscles and increases strength. So using a vibration plate is a simple way to make a workout more effective. Why? Because vibration therapy activates up to 138% more muscle fibers than a standard workout. So if you're doing exercises, which you can do on top of the platform, you're working out muscles that are typically inactive during those movements, and you can get greater gains in muscle strength without increasing your workouts. You're just doing some of those moves on the vibrating platform. I know, it sounds too good to be true, right? But again, I'm linking to real studies, like actual studies, not just like USA Today articles, okay? Number two is dead straightforward, and it makes intuitive sense. It helps with muscle soreness and recovery. This one is instant and effective for me, anyway. That's not a study, that's just me. In short, though, whole body vibration therapy can help muscles relax and recover post-workout. And some research even showed that vibration can help prevent soreness in certain muscles. So like if you get on it for 10 minutes before a workout, do your workout, get back on it for another 10 minutes after your workout, that you might be preventing soreness proactively. So I dig it. All right, the third reason whole body vibration therapy can be interesting is it burns additional energy. So for those of you who use the word calories, that's what I'm talking about. I don't think in terms of calories, but I'll tell you that it burns additional energy and can accelerate fat loss for this reason. So when you incorporate training exercise on a vibrating surface in general, you activate more muscles than you would on a stationary surface. So your body's working harder and it uses more energy, right? So there were some studies done where they were doing activities on vibration plates, and the results showed that adding in that vibration contributes to long-term weight loss and reduced abdominal fat, interestingly, specifically reduced abdominal fat more than the control group in a standard fitness program. So vibration plates also seem to be helpful for improving the results seen by older people, including postmenopausal women in this study that I am citing in the blog. All right. And I will even link an article. There's a whole article on power plate training can reduce abdominal fat in overweight adults. So you can look for that article in this blog. All right. Lymph drainage. It's all the talk right now. It's starting to become a much more well understood function in our body. Vibration therapy causes muscle contractions, which produces external pressure on our lymph vessels. So that process aids in lymph flow and facilitates lymph drainage. Now, you've heard me talk about jumping on my rebounder. I'm not even really jumping. I'm just kind of bouncing. And that's great for lymph drainage. But honestly, so is dancing. So is walking. So is almost any form of exercise, or really any form of exercise is going to contribute to a healthy lymph flow. But if you are particularly sedentary for any reason, or perhaps just a season, then whole body vibration therapy can help you stimulate that lymph drainage. Interestingly, according to the research that I did, vibration therapy is also a safe treatment for the swelling that is caused by lymphedema. So that can be really interesting news for people who suffer from that condition. Again, do your research there. All right, number five, blood circulation. If you've ever experienced swelling or skin color changes or throbbing pain in your extremities, you know, your legs and feet or your hands and arms, you may be experiencing poor blood circulation. And having poor circulation can lead to complications. So at the lower end of the spectrum, that can lead to varicose veins. And then, of course, in the more danger zone territory, it can lead to blood clots and other complications. Whole body vibration therapy increases your peripheral blood circulation. Why do I like that? Because it really helps you have great skin. So it can help you with that really healthy skin glow. And if varicose veins is something that you struggle with, you might want to dive into a little bit of the research there. Okay. Again, guess what? I'll link it. Okay, the sixth reason that I want to share with you is that vibration therapy has been shown to improve bone health and density. Remember the astronauts? So for all of us, we humans, we bipeds, we upright mammals, bone growth slows after age 30. And by ages 40 to 50-ish, bone loss may outpace bone replenishment. For women, menopause also accelerates the loss of bone mass in many, which can, of course, contribute to osteoporosis. Now, fun fact, we learned in a previous show that you are continuing the bone replenishment process right now. I did not know that. I thought that like once it was done, and then the clock just started ticking and you just started losing bone mass. No, you can actually stimulate bone replenishment. Not just fight against the decline, you can add to. We talked about some ways to do that in previous shows. I'll link a couple. Dr. Vonda Wright comes to mind, where she talked about doing jump rope or skipping or that type of impact exercise, obviously running. That type of pounding can help increase bone density. So can whole body vibration therapy. Research has shown that whole body vibration can help increase bone density. In one study, women used a vibration plate and they had an increase in lumbar bone density. That's back. Lumbar bone density of over 4% after 6 months. And by contrast, the group that did not use a vibration plate lost 1.9% of lumbar bone density after 6 months. Now, I struggle with that. Like, if we're losing 2% of lumbar bone density every 6 months, something is not adding up for me. But I will tag the study and you can dig in yourselves. All right. Also, research has shown that whole body vibration may help prevent osteoporosis by stimulating growth hormone production. And it also appears to work by regulating the activity of certain cells responsible for bone remodeling, which helps strengthen our bones. Okay. Let's go back to our astronauts. Scientists developed whole body vibration therapy in an effort to help astronauts avoid bone loss during space travel, right? They found that standing on a vibrating plate for 10 to 20 minutes each day helped astronauts regain the 1 to 2% bone loss that they experienced from months spent in space stations. Think about that. They stood on a vibrating plate for 10 to 20 minutes each day and they gained back the bone loss that they experienced from spending months in space. I think that's utterly remarkable. Honestly, there are dozens more benefits that have been studied, and you can read about them in the things that I post. But I ended up buying a vibration platform for about $300 after looking at dozens and dozens of options. So, frankly, I got mine on Amazon. Okay. You can check out how to buy them directly. You can look at the higher end brands. Like I said, they range from, you know, $1,500 to over $8,000, or you can start as I did and get more of a home use, residential use type vibrating platform. I like the one that I got. I've been using it for a while. And right now I 5 out of 5 stars recommend. If anything changes, I will keep you updated, but I'll link to all of that stuff. Okay. Now it's important to add that not everybody should be engaging in vibration therapy, all right? So you want to avoid whole body vibration therapy if you're experiencing something like a stress fracture, neuropathy, fibromyalgia, epilepsy, pregnancy, recent surgery or joint replacement, something of that nature, metal pins, plates, etc. If you're at a high risk of blood clot, if you have a pacemaker, if you suffer from hypertension, if you have inner ear and balance issues, and then finally, you wouldn't want to use it for a part of your body that had a skin rash or an open wound, all right? So it's not for everybody. And again, it might not be for you, but it is something you should check out because honestly, the benefits so far for me, just party of one, have been very, very noticeable and it just feels good. And it takes 10 minutes. So I'm in. All right, I hope you learned something, but check out the show notes for more details. Okay, that was the good. Here's the bad. Today, we're talking about injury recovery tips, how to survive an injury, because getting injured sucks, and being patient enough to recover also sucks. I'm sharing for a friend. That friend is me. Right now, I am totally inhibited. I am not able to train. I'm not able to run. I'm not able to cycle. And on some days, I can't even walk. It is no picnic, and I hate sharing things like this on the air because I don't like giving them any energy. Quite honestly, I hate sharing things like this at all, anywhere, anytime. It makes you not feel like yourself when your body isn't doing what you want it to do, right? I happen to be enjoying my inaugural experience with sciatica, and it has been wow. It has been really something. When we were doing the 21 days of walking challenge, toward the end of the challenge, I had to fess up to the group. I had to say, just with a few more days to go, I had to say, I'm injured. I don't know what's wrong with me, but it feels like I have a problem in my hip or with my femoral head. That's the, you know, head of your femur where it goes into your pelvis. And I was like, I can't walk, not quite sure what's wrong, etc. Then I isolated it down to where I thought it was a pulled hamstring. What I would give to have a pulled hamstring, I cannot even tell you. But no, that's not what it was. What it is a disc issue, and the disc is impinging on my sciatic nerve. And that is no bueno. So the few of you that have experienced this or are related to someone who has experienced this, you're gritting your teeth right now, I know, because it is so gnarly. It is so terrible. I don't even have the words to tell you how bad it is. But basically, coughing is like torture from hell. Sneezing, yeah, just it's over. Walking, lying down, sitting down, standing up, it's bad. Anyway, I don't think you need a show on sciatica. That's not really what I want to talk to you about. The reason I share that with you is because it is wildly affecting my mental game. It is wildly affecting my physical game, and it is wildly affecting my emotional game. And how I proceed through this and get to the other side of healing, right? It matters. How we persevere, no matter what your injury is, no matter what your setback is, no matter what your challenge is, how you exist in that space matters. And there's something that I wanted to share with you. Actually, there are a couple of tips that I wanted to share with you for surviving this. And I would love to be telling you this from the other side, but I'm kind of in it right now. But I just wanted to share a few things that do help me, because honestly, I am having to use every single tool I have in my toolkit right now to get through the bad days, okay? So one of the things that I wanted to share with you is to remember that there are really three types of stress. That means that when you're dealing with an injury or a challenge or a barrier or an obstacle of some kind, you're wise to look at this from three different points of view. The three types of stress are chemical, emotional, and physical. So using my pathetic self as an example, physically, I have a problem, right? Physically, my movement is restricted. There are things that I cannot do. There is a great deal of pain involved with this. All right, let's mark that. What does that mean? It means that I am sleeping 4 hours a night. That sucks. Getting injured sucks. Not sleeping sucks more. So not sleeping and not being able to get in like a solid 6.5 to 8 hours creates chemical stress on the body. So if you're dealing with something, maybe it's a metaphorical injury, maybe it's a real injury, the chemical response to that matters. So one of the things that I am realizing is to do everything within my power to prioritize sleep, to make sure that I am staying hydrated and that I'm eating well, to make sure that I don't let my physical condition create a state where I am chemically out of balance. So prioritizing sleep, doing anything I can to make that happen. I have to do things I would not normally do in order to keep my priorities straight. So physical stress can beget chemical stress and vice versa. And then there is the third pillar, and that is emotional stress. This one is a doozy because I stay in constant motion and I love exercise. I love moving my body and I'm a very physical person. Not being able to move, heck, not being able to brush my teeth, hey, not being able to cough is driving me a little crazy. And emotionally, you know, it can really get to you. So again, this is not about me. This is about all of us at a point where we are going through a challenge. When you look at the emotional side of that challenge, you have to appreciate that you cannot paint your future with the brush that you are holding today, right? You have to go an extra mile to take care of yourself. You have to practice deep breathing or meditation to nourish your mental state. You have to take advantage of the downtime to do things you might not normally have time to do, or think of your day differently than you did before. You have to own your mental game. And for me, this is really hard. For some reason, I have a lot of shame and embarrassment around telling people that I'm hurt or injured. I do with that what you will. We can call Tilly Harris and she'll tell me. If you know, you know. But it's really difficult for me to tell people, I can't do that. I'm not myself right now. I can't do that. I'm hurt. Or I need help because I'm injured. Like there is, for some reason, like an abnormal level of mortification around sharing that and being exposed in that way. And that, staying in that headspace, whilst not being able to do jack crap, can be a really bad emotional cocktail. So sometimes you just have to say what a thing is, drag it into the light, and it loses a little bit of its power. So I don't have neat and pat solutions. I'm here to acknowledge it, to drag it into the light, and to encourage you to own your mental game. Okay, I talked about the big rocks. I got to eat well, I got to hydrate, and I got to sleep through whatever means I can figure out. Because you can only truly heal if you are truly sleeping. That is true of any challenge you want to run through the filter. You can only truly heal if you are truly sleeping. On a practical level, try different modalities for healing. Try acupuncture, try chiropractic care, try massage therapy, vibration therapy, kinesiology, dry needling. I think I have an episode on every single one of these. There are so many different modalities out there that might actually help you turn the corner, whether it's a mental or physical challenge that you're struggling with. And I just see a lot of people let what their health plan care will cover. Did I say that right? What their health care plan? What their health care plan will cover? How to tell somebody does not have good health care. I don't even know how to say it. I wouldn't recognize it if it hit me in the face. Yeah, I'm self-employed. So that means my health care has sucked for the past 26 years. So I am very accustomed to paying out of pocket for health care that I need. I am not here to talk to you about your own personal financial management, but I am telling you to open your mind if you are able to open your wallet. I'm not presuming that everybody can, and invest in getting better, even if your healthcare company doesn't want to pay for it for you. Think outside the box and try different modalities for healing, if you can. Last but not least, I would be remiss not to say, listen to your body. I don't know about you, but when I'm challenged with something, I want to just run through it. Like if you put a wall in front of me, the first thing I'm going to try to do is barrel through it. I'm more Red Rover than go around and go over. I can't do that right now. I can't barrel through this. I can't grit through the pain. I am certain that you who are sharing this conversation with me right now, that you have faced times in your life where you could not just grin and bear it and barrel through. And I just want to say, in this case, listen to your body. Do what it will allow and honor what it will not for now. Thanks for sharing in this time with me. Okay, moving on to something better and brighter, the yummy. The theme today is all about prioritizing protein because all of these experts that I'm talking to, and I've shared the conversations with you on the air, and they are talking about how to build muscle, how to kick ass during perimenopause or postmenopause. Honestly, it doesn't matter if you're 25 or 45 or 65. Women, on the whole, according to the people we've talked to on the show, are not consuming enough protein much of the time. Now, for me, I want to share with you some ideas for prioritizing protein without meat, because I know that according to the experts that I've interviewed anyway, and the books that I'm reading, I know that I need 100 to like 140 grams of protein a day. Now, that's a lot for me. I don't eat meat. So 100 to 150 grams of protein, honestly, it sounds overwhelming. So as a mostly plant-based eater, not religiously, but mostly plant-based eater, I really do struggle. So I just wanted to share four quick tips with you on ways I've been upping my protein intake into a meat-free diet in some almost like stealth ways, if you will. It's not that I need to hide it from myself. It's that I just can't sit down and like eat a block of tofu. Okay. Speaking of tofu, the first tip is to blend tofu. Like you get it, you buy it in a square, right? And I know what you're saying. You're saying it tastes like nothing. That's right, Sally. It tastes like nothing. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to cut that block in half and I want you to blend half a block of tofu into the hummus you're making, into the soup that you're making, into the dip that you're making, into the sauce that you're making. It thickens it, but it won't alter the taste. So I dropped it in soup the other day in a recipe that absolutely did not call for it. And I did not taste it at all. Not appropriate for every recipe, but where it works, it thickens and adds a healthy amount of protein. I used to do a lot of plant-based protein powders, and I really don't anymore, but I will add 1 to 2 scoops of plant-based protein powder mixed with Greek yogurt or non-dairy yogurt. I actually prefer cashew yogurt, which is non-dairy, but Greek yogurt or non-dairy yogurt. I will actually do 1 or 2 scoops of a plant-based protein powder mixed in with that and then add berries and muesli. So that will fill me up for hours. And one of the things that's so funny as someone who does not eat enough protein is whenever I eat protein, I actually feel full. And then I'm like, oh, is this how the rest of the world is living? Like, as someone who runs on an enormous amount of carbohydrates, I have to say, every time I eat protein, I feel like I discovered the Holy Grail. I'm like, oh, this is what all the fuss is about. Anyway, this concoction does that for me. Berries are great because it adds some moisture to it, because mixing the protein powder with the yogurt can get quite like a little bit thick, but I think it's yummy. So I have a chocolate plant-based protein powder and I mix it with yogurt and I throw in a bunch of blueberries and some muesli and I stir that concoction up and yum, I'm full for hours. Okay, two quickies. Spirulina. This little miracle, it deserves its own episode, and I think I might hold myself to that. I think that'll come up in another The Good, the Bad, and the Yummy. But listen, real quick, since it gets its own show, it's over 50% protein. So if you have 3 grams of spirulina, 2 grams of it are protein. And it's also chock full of other minerals and nutrients. So I get both green spirulina in tablet form, and blue spirulina in powder form, and I use them differently. So sometimes I'll put the blue powder into that yogurt concoction that I've already mentioned. The green tablets you can just swallow or chew. Lots of protein, iron, so many good things. Honestly, there's a lot to talk about there. We'll cover that in an upcoming episode. All right, last but not least, cottage cheese. Blech. I'm sorry. I am so sorry if you are a cottage cheese lover, because I'm not here to yuck your yum. But personally, no. I detest cottage cheese. I just cannot. But it's a great source of protein, which is so annoying to me. But I found a wonderful leek and zucchini soup recipe on Instagram that is like so dead. If I'm talking about it, you know it's simple, right? I'm going to share that. Also, I'll do like a little post on Instagram for the show specifically so that I can show you the exact recipe. But I will link to that in the show notes because I blended in, against my will, I blended in like half a tub of cottage cheese into the soup and I could not taste it at all. So I took a really yummy plant-based soup and I made it like packed with protein with that little tip. So highly recommend. Okay, that was a lot. We started with whole body vibration therapy and how if it's good for astronauts, it's good for you. We talked about how to survive an injury, whether it's literal or metaphorical. And we talked about some sneakier ways to get much more protein into your daily diet. I hope that was useful, and I hope that you will deep dive into the blog I've created for this episode at onairella.com. There's no with, it's just onairella.com. You know the drill. All right, see ya. Okay, I hope you enjoyed today's show and got something out of it that you can use. If you did and you want to learn more, just head over to onairella.com, where I put up links to all of the stuff that you did not need to write down today because I got you covered. There's no with. It's just onairella.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing the show. And thanks for inspiring me. You are quite simply awesome.